from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Oh yeah, what's going on, DMV? You know who it is, youngest in charge movement, Linnell Willingham, here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan, and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. Things heating up here in the district. Hottest day in D.C. in the past 36 years. Things are hot out in Vegas for Washington Wizards Summer League. We'll check on them before they tip off coming up at 8:30 Eastern time tonight. Summer League game number 3. And I was talking about it with old Danny Ruye on the tail end of Grant and Danny. Massive, massive matchup tonight for the number 2 overall pick, Alex Saar, as he gets to go up against Donovan Clingan, the number 7 overall pick from UConn, and a person that a lot of folks think is arguably the best big man that was drafted. So we'll see if Alex Saar can bounce back. Mixed bag performance from him during the first 2 games of the Summer League. So I'm hoping he is able to bounce back here tonight. Things got heated, as you all know, out in San Francisco as well. Brandon Ayuk requesting a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. We will touch on that in great detail before we get out of here as well. What I wanted to start with, though, is the Brandon Ayuk conversation. Because let's be very honest about all of this. I don't have a dog in the fight, as I continue to say. I think Washington has a competent enough skill position group at wide receiver, tight end, running back, to where acquiring a guy like Brandon Ayuk is a luxury and not a necessity. And the one thing I'll continue to say, right, when you think about the cost of getting Brandon Ayuk, because San Francisco has been very forthcoming during the entire process, they're not looking to trade Brandon Ayuk. This is a team that's on the cusp and doorstep of punching their ticket to win a Super Bowl. As I mentioned at the end of Grant and Danny, Ricky Pearsall, their first-round pick, going on the non-football injury reserve list before camp. So the need for Brandon Ayuk right now in San Francisco, I can argue, is high as it's ever been. As high as it's ever been. So this is what you have to balance now here if you're Washington. Is it worth giving up the draft capital that you're going to have to give up to get Ayuk, as well as the contract? Now, obviously, the contract, not as big of a hurdle because of where Washington is. Quarterback on a rookie contract. You're going to be flush with cap space going into this summer. So financially, they have no problem doing it. I'm worried about giving up the draft capital in year 2 of a rebuild, pretty much, because next year will be your second draft under Adam Peters and company. Does that make sense? Does that make sense in terms of where Washington is right now? That's my feeling on it. Now, first and foremost, Brandon Ayuk, I think the conversation has gotten a little bit skewed here. Yes, he was an all-pro this year, but this was the first year that we really saw all-pro numbers from Brandon Ayuk. Now, I understand he doesn't get the volume of targets that the other top wideouts get because of the way San Francisco runs their offense, but like, receiver is such a delicate position right now to me in the National Football League. The reason I say that is because think about the success and the hit rate on first-round wide receivers over the past 5 years or so. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase. The list goes on and on. It is much easier, I think, to replenish your wide receiver room through the draft than it is to go out and give big-time money and give up assets to get a wide receiver. Because let's be real here. As bullish as I am on this group, and I think they've got an opportunity to win 9, 10 games and be playing meaningful football in late December, early January, even with that being the case, they're not a Brandon Ayuk away. They're not. And I love this group as much as an X-Man does. They're not a Brandon Ayuk away from being a contender. This is a move a contender makes. Now, I understand the argument of wanting to surround your young quarterback with the most weapons and resources possible. I get it. But as I continue to say, we are distracted right now by the fact that it's Cliff Kingsbury, the fact that it's a former Heisman Trophy winner, and the fact that the track record of the guys on the offensive staff. This, to me, I'm putting it on a T-shirt, exotic smash mouth football. This is that is going to be the identity and the flavor of this football team this year. I don't think we're going to see Jayden Daniels drop back 35, 40 times per contest. You can make the argument, and this is what Danny Ruye has done, so we talked about a couple moments ago. You can make the argument that, hey, look, Washington hasn't done enough to ensure that he's going to be surrounded by greatness, to ensure that he can hit the ground running. You didn't draft a tackle in round one. As Danny Ruye told us, you drafted defensive tackle in round two. That can be looked at as a luxury pick, but as I continue to say, when you're this early in your rebuild, when you're in the draft, to me, it's about best player available, not drafting for need. Need doesn't matter at this point. You had a bevy of different needs. You can't fill all of your needs in one offseason, in one draft. That's why, to me, I would have a little bit of hesitancy. I don't even think that's the right word. I would be skeptical about trading away first-round pick, second-round pick to acquire Ayuk. We don't know to this point what the price tag is going to be. I think the conversation gets much more serious next week when it's time for San Fran's vets to report for camp. But as we sit here right now, Brandon Ayuk has no leverage. And the one thing that I continue to say, and I love Brandon Ayuk. I think he can play. I think he's underrated. But the way that he has carried himself through this process in terms of how public he has been during these negotiations with San Fran, do I want that in my building? That's the big-time question you have to ask. Do you want that in your building? But on the same token, there is no one that knows Brandon Ayuk, the person, better than one, Jayden Daniels, and two, the guy that drafted him, Adam Peters. So there is a familiarity there. If he does get moved, I would anticipate it's to Washington. As I said with Danny, though, and I think Ruye agrees, I don't think he gets dealt. I don't think he has the leverage to pull San Fran's card at this point. And I think the big question is going to be, and this is what we'll talk about all night long, 1-800-636-1067. If Washington does not acquire Brandon Ayuk, are you confident that they have enough surrounding Jayden Daniels on the perimeter that he'll be able to have success in year one? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL underscore BTP. This is what we'll talk about most of the night. I'm fascinated by it. There are details that have continued to come out about the way San Fran does business. We'll touch on that as the show rolls on here as well. But this is from ESPN's Adam Schefter earlier today. Other teams that have reached out and spoken to San Francisco have been told that the 49ers have, quote, no intention of trading disgruntled wideout Brandon Ayuk, who officially requested a trade as Niners camp is set to open up next week. I think that, to me, really is what's going to drive this conversation. One, Brandon Ayuk doesn't have leverage. Two, San Francisco is not motivated in any way at this point to make a trade involving him. So what that means is that the price tag, if you are Washington, Pittsburgh, New England, three of the teams that have been rumored, the price tag is going to be sky high. And then it raises the question of, well, what are you willing to part ways with in order to acquire Brandon Ayuk? For me, it's simple. There are only a couple of things that I'm willing to give up. I'm not giving up a second-round pick for Brandon Ayuk. I'm not giving up a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk. We can go a third rounder maybe, a fourth rounder maybe. I'm just not comfortable. I'm not comfortable parting ways with draft capital simply because I know just how good Adam Peters is building a roster through the draft. And the wide receiver position, to me, has become so much of a luxury in today's NFL. The teams that go out and get aggressive at wide receiver usually are really close in terms of getting over the hump. Look at Philadelphia going out with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. They were a receiver away when they went out and acquired A.J. Brown. So this is where they're at right now. Washington's not at that point in the rebuild. And if you're going to make the argument of, look, you need to surround him with the most weapons as possible, I agree. I agree. You drafted Luke McCaffrey in round three. That's capital spent on the wide receiver position. Terry McLaurin, say what you want about him and the way that we inflate him here locally. This kid's had four consecutive 1,000-yard receiving seasons with YMCA-ass quarterback play. Let's just be real. Summer camp, backyard football quarterback play is what Terry McLaurin's dealt with, and he still put up numbers. Realistically speaking, do you know what you have in-house at wide receiver? Because without a guy to get him the damn football, how do you know how good they actually are? It's fascinating because there's some of you out there that act as if, well, if Adam Peters and company don't go get a wide receiver, they're not serious about Jaden Daniels and his development. Kiss my ass. That is just not true. That's not true. There's a time and a place for everything. And let's be real. If we're going out and trading for a wide receiver, I'm sorry, I'd rather have T. Higgins than Brandon Ayuk. And that may be something that makes people go, but you hear what I'm saying here. I would much rather address wide out through the draft because the hit rate on these guys has been out of this world. You can get first-round wideouts are growing on trees nowadays. You think about all the top wideouts in the National Football League right now. They have been drafted in the first round. That's how you address that position. I don't think it makes sense in year one of a rebuild to go spend what I think is going to be sizable draft capital based on the lack of leverage that Brandon Ayuk has. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk requesting a trade earlier this afternoon as we sit here a week away from training camp opening up for Washington. One, do you want them to pull the trigger on a deal for Ayuk? And if they don't, are you confident in what Washington has at receiver going into training camp? Andre is out in Alexandria. What's going on, Dre?
Hey, how you doing, man? Linnell, good to hear you, man. Yes, I'm glad you got your own show. That's what I've been secretly wanting. Get away from Chris and have your own show. So I got that. And I don't want Antonio Brown on our team. I mean, Ayuk. To me, they're the same person.
Wow.
They're the same person.
So you think it's...
Well, they even looked alike. They even looked alike and act alike.
The one thing I would say, I'm like the wrong guy to ask about Antonio Brown because I think he deserves to be a first ballot Hall of Famer despite all of the nonsense that he's gone through off the field. But what do you mean by that when you're trying to compare them? It bothers you as a fan the way that he's handled these negotiations publicly?
Yeah, because he, to me, I'm speaking for me and only me, he got that Antonio Brown type of energy to him, and he looked like him. I can't, every time I look at him, I say, is that Ayuk or Antonio Brown? I'm like, damn, okay, that's Ayuk. But he got the Antonio, you know, Brown aura to him or energy to him, and I think that's not conducive for Jaden Daniels. I think he's going to ruin. I don't want his personality to rub off on Jaden Daniels.
The one thing I would say, Andre, and I appreciate the call, the one thing I would say about Jaden Daniels being here, I think it's more of an asset than it is a problem. I think, because let's just be real about why I'm bullish on this group. I think the mentality of the quarterback, getting in at 5:45 a.m., putting in the extra work, correcting his veteran teammates when they don't run a route correctly, that stuff to me has the ability to be contagious in year one. And if Daniels is working that way, and then Ayuk and him are best buddies, he's going to be working that way. Now this is something that it doesn't get reported to the media. It's routine of what the Washington Commanders do. It's routine of their work ethic and how they go about preparing for the regular season. I love that it was highlighted that Jaden Daniels is out there at 545. That needs to be the new norm. This is what the elite quarterbacks in the National Football League do. This is what the elite teams in the National Football League do. You leave no stone unturned when it comes to trying to be great. And that's what matters the most to me. CJ's out in D.C. What's going on, CJ?
Hey, what's going on, baby? I'm good. Man, I gotta definitely agree, you know, with Andre, man. You definitely don't want that type of aura in your locker room. And,
for sure.
You know, don't get me wrong. You know, Ayuk, he's a great player. He did have a breakout season last year, man. But as far as Jaden Daniels go, I would rather see him, you know, be progressive in his first year, build around him in his first year, and, you know, see what his wide receivers and, you know, what his running backs can do around him, man. You definitely don't want that type of aura, you know, for your freshman quarterback, you know, your rookie quarterback in that locker room, man. It just wouldn't be a good look. He's podcasting and, you know, saying all these things and being visually, you know, upset. And, you know, there's certain things, you know, certain way to handle it. You know, and a lot of these executives of these football teams, man, they're looking at that as well.
I appreciate the call as always. Let me ask you the second part of the question, CJ. If they don't acquire Brandon Ayuk, are you confident in what they have at receiver as we get geared up for camp next week?
I believe they do. You know, just like they said earlier, man, you got McCaffrey and those guys, man. You still got McLaurin with his, you know, veteran leadership as well, you know, being able to guide him and, you know, show Jaden Daniels the ropes. So, man, you just have to see exactly, you know, what they can offer. And I believe they can do it, man. I believe they can do it. You know, Ayuk, he's a great guy. But, you know, as far as his personality, man, you just don't want that around in your locker room and, you know, wanting your rookie quarterback being around that aura, man.
For sure. Appreciate the call as always. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor listing lines. You can tweet at me as well as at @NELL_BTP. Plenty of overtime coming up next here on 106.7 The Fan. We will continue to talk about the big story of the afternoon. 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, a week out from the start of training camp, has requested a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. When we get back, we'll look at some numbers in terms of how San Francisco has gone about doing their business when it comes to contract extensions over the past couple of seasons. All that and more coming up next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Still rocking and rolling here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham taking up the 10 o'clock before we hand things over to Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network. Number to call the show, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Reacting to the big time breaking news that we had earlier today, something that quite honestly, maybe we should have been expecting. Brandon Ayuk, disgruntled 49ers wide receiver, officially requesting a trade from San Francisco earlier today. And despite the trade request, multiple different reports continue to say, to the surprise of no one, I might add, the San Francisco 49ers not interested in trading star wideout Brandon Ayuk. And we talked about it in the opening segment. There are so many reasons as to why I think, in all likelihood, this isn't going to happen. If it does happen, that means between now and the start of the preseason, I would give it, that Brandon Ayuk can act a fool. Because let's be real here. He's already acting a fool, in my opinion, in terms of some of the things he's done publicly during these negotiations. And I get it. I'm a player empowerment guy when everybody get their bag. That's not at all what I'm doing here. It just rubbed me the wrong way with the Jaden Daniels FaceTime post. It rubbed me the wrong way going on the pivot and saying what he said. Although it could be true what he said, and if that's how he actually feels, so be it. But all in all, I'm starting to begin to wonder when it comes to Brandon Ayuk. One, is he worth what it's going to take to acquire him? And this is what I continue to go back to. Brandon Ayuk's going to cost. And the number one reason he's going to cost is because, one, he has no leverage. And two, San Fran continues to tell you they're not interested in trading him. So if you are going to get him off of our hands, the price is going to be steep. Brandon Ayuk coming off of a career high year, 75 catches, 1,300 yards. First of all, like, let's just be real about it in terms of the casual fan that maybe doesn't appreciate just how good Brandon Ayuk is. To turn 75 catches into 1,300 yards is bad-ass stuff. That's elite wide receiver production. It is. That's 17.9 yards per catch. You can't beat that. It led the National Football League last year. Make no mistake about it, Brandon Ayuk going into year number 5 next year at just 26 years of age is him at the wide receiver position. It's not about talent at all. It's not. It's just about the price tag for me. And I understand if he's as good as I'm saying he is, right, then the price tag isn't a factor. But the one thing I would say about Ayuk and his price tag is where Washington is in this rebuild. I don't know, and maybe that could be something that we take calls on as well in terms of like what the asking price is going to be for Brandon Ayuk. I just think about, one, how much they want him, two, the age, and then if you're Washington, maybe you can lessen the return you're going to have to give back because you're going to have to pay him. But I don't know. It just doesn't make a lot of sense for San Fran to do, especially considering the news that we talked about at the end of Grant Danny. Ricky Pearsall, their number one wide receiver that they drafted this past year, is starting training camp on the non-football injury list. Knock on wood, I don't want to speculate. That could be anything. That could be anything. And God bless him. Hopefully it's not anything major that's going to cost him the season. But with that injury, reality of the situation, Brandon Ayuk just became that much more valuable to the San Francisco 49ers. He became that much more important to the San Francisco 49ers. And let's just make no mistake about it here. I understand Christian McCaffrey's great. I know Debo is great. I know Kittle is great. You talk to folks in NFL circles. You talk to folks in San Fran's building. They can't replace Brandon Ayuk. The 49ers would no longer be a contender without Brandon Ayuk. I guarantee it. I firmly believe that. In terms of where he lines up in the slot, at the X, at the Z, the movable chess piece that he is in Kyle Shanahan's offense, how reliable he's been in Kyle Shanahan's offense, his ability as a blocker. I mean, you cannot overstate just how important he is to San Fran's offense, which lends to what I'm talking about. They don't want to trade this young man, especially when you consider where that football team is right now. They're in, I don't want to call it championship or bust, because if they don't win the Super Bowl, what are they going to fire Shanahan? Hell no. Yeah, well, when you got Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll and Mike Vrabel, the standard for NFL coaching this year, I think, just got a hell of a lot higher because of who's on the market. That's here nor there. They got to get over the hump. They have not been able to do so under Kyle Shanahan. And then here's the other part of it. Everyone keeps bringing this up, and I think it's valid. If you're the San Francisco 49ers, let's go through a couple of reports that we saw here earlier today,
because I want to give some credit where credit is due. Everyone has to remember, first of all, before we get into some of Shefty's reporting and some of Jeremy Fowler's reporting, The Athletic's Diana Russini weighed in as well. Everyone's got to remember, Aiyuk does not have leverage. He's under contract. And the Niners, you know, according to some folks that are close to the situation, have even already floated out franchise tag to Aiyuk in his camp. So the ball is in their court, so to speak. They hold all of the leverage in this situation. The question now becomes, like I said, how much are you willing to give up for Aiyuk? Early in this rebuild process, does it make sense to give away capital to make the team better? Especially when you consider why we're all drooling over Adam Peters. It's about the draft track record. Why take away opportunities for him to potentially bring in a franchise-altering football player? That's the risk you've got away. I'm not saying I'm totally against it, because I understand how important surrounding the young quarterback with weapons are. I get that. But at what cost? But at what cost? And some people may look at it as a negative. I see some of you on Twitter doing so. Jaden Daniels and him being that damn close is a benefit to this situation, I'm telling you. Not in terms of just acquiring him, but when you acquire him, assuring that, hey, he's not going to be a problem here, even if they don't get a deal done initially. Because that's the other thing of it. You can trade for Brandon Aiyuk and then say, hey, are you willing to negotiate the contract going into the season? And you got to trust that Aiyuk isn't going to be a distraction or a problem while that's going on. And I think with Jaden Daniels in the building, with Adam Peters in the building, that headache, I would say, becomes less likely, as it should. Now, this is from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler from earlier today. A source on Brandon Aiyuk's contract impasse. Aiyuk wants to be traded or paid. San Francisco doesn't want to pay him or trade him. And when they say pay him, that is relative to market value. That is where the conversation picks up. That is where things get interesting when you start talking about market value for Brandon Aiyuk. What is he actually worth? What's he actually worth? Because I got arguments on both sides of the coin in terms of him being deserving of a Justin Jefferson-esque contract, and then one side of the coin that says he better go kick rocks if he thinks he's about to get that type of payday. So it's going to be fascinating to see what ultimately happens here. This is from ESPN's Adam Schefter. We read this earlier today. Other teams that have reached out and spoken to San Francisco's disgruntled wideout Aiyuk, who is officially retrusted. Excuse me, I misread that completely. Other teams that have reached out and spoken to San Francisco have been told that the 49ers have no intention of trading Brandon Aiyuk, who officially requested a trade earlier today. The 49ers open up training camp next week. So there have been trade talks. There's a report out there that the New England Patriots recently called about Brandon Aiyuk and were told to go kick rocks. I know. I don't like that destination either. I don't know. If we're not in position to do it, they damn sure aren't in position to do it. But they have no one. Our cover's not as bare. So that's where it gets interesting in terms of New England. But every situation, I would say, is different when it comes to these contracts, right? Because I know New England will trade for him and be willing to pay. Pittsburgh, I think, would be trading for him and willing to pay. Washington, the same thing. But all these situations are different because people keep trying to compare it to Debo Samuel and George Kittle and Bosa and Fred Warner. It's not the same. First of all, it's different position groups, so the market's changed. I think this receiver market, there's got to be a team that puts their foot down and says, hey, we're not going to let this thing continue to explode and grow at the rate that it's going. I think we're seeing that right now with quarterback. Miami's telling Tua, go kick all of the rocks. You were 1-7 last year against playoff teams, and you think you deserve a market value contract? Hell no. On the flip side, our NFC's counterpart, the Cowboys, I think Dak is more than deserving of a big-time contract based off of the numbers he's put up the last couple of seasons. But with Aiyuk, people want to keep going back and looking at the track record of the San Francisco 49ers paying guys. You know what? We'll take a quick timeout. We'll pay some bills. When we come back, we will do just that. We will look at the track record of San Francisco and when they pay their guys relative to the start of training camp. And some of these dates may surprise you a little bit. Some 49er contract numbers coming up next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time before we hand things over to Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network. Programming note, coming up in exactly 1 hour, we'll be joined by our pal Kevin Sheehan, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10 to 1 over on our sister station, the Team 980. We'll get his thoughts on the number one story in town right now that we've been discussing. Earlier today, disgruntled Niners wideout Brandon Ayuk officially requesting a trade from the San Francisco 49ers about a week before they're set to report for training camp. As we've said all show long, and as I will continue to say, because I don't want to be misconstrued at all here, I understand both sides of the argument completely. I understand why some of you out there are hell-bent on going out and trading for Ayuk. You can never have a surplus of weapons when you are grooming and developing a young rookie quarterback. I get it. I get it. But the question now for me with Brandon Ayuk becomes, at what cost? Because you don't have leverage. He doesn't have leverage. San Fran, who is on the doorstep of a Super Bowl, is not going to give away their all-pro caliber receiver. It is going to take, in my opinion, significant draft capital to get him away from San Francisco. Now, he can come into the facility next year and next week and act an ass and make this situation a little bit uncomfortable to where maybe the asking price goes down because it becomes so evident that he ain't playing there. But we're not there yet. At this point, I would think the price tag to acquire Ayuk is too steep for Washington to be involved on. I don't want to say too steep, though, because there is no price, like I said. I get what he brings to the offense. I get what he does for the young quarterback. And that's the most important asset right now within this franchise. That's the most important figure in the franchise is Jayden Daniels, doing everything you can in your power to ensure that he has success in year one. And adding a all-pro wideout would damn sure be doing that. But with Ayuk, I just don't know whether or not it would make sense to give up what they're going to have to give up, especially considering, in my opinion, how easy it is nowadays to acquire an elite wide receiver. But I want to look at some key dates here because this is something that a lot of people have been talking about online, as I've seen. A lot of people in San Francisco saying, don't worry. Schefter, other national reporters continuing to say it. Look, San Fran does this when it comes to negotiating big-time contracts with some of their star players. They take the slow route. Slow as molasses. Now, Manassas is a little bit slow around the Beltway when it comes to traffic. You Virginians can't drive. So I said slow as Manassas, so it just kind of is what it is.
We're going to have a conversation about this.
Well, I knew you would take that personally. I understood what that
was. Because I got beef with y'all, Maryland drivers.
And there we go. It's a never-ending soap opera between the DMV and all of our non-driving asses. Let's just put it out there that way. But I want to look at some numbers here real quick when it comes to San Fran. Because the story is, look, don't panic about Brandon Ayuk and his contract. One, because San Fran wants him. And two, it is their track record, their history, to wait a little bit longer when it comes to signing their big-time guys to big-time deals. Go back to 2020. George Kittle was in a contract dispute with the team. They didn't re-sign George Kittle until August 13th, 2020. Now, I don't think Kittle held out at all with San Francisco, but it was a sticky negotiation. Fred Warner didn't sign his long-term extension until July 21st. So, based on the calendar, right before training camp. Last year, or 2 years ago, with Deebo Samuel and how disgruntled he was. And remember, Deebo Samuel requested a trade as well when he was in the midst of his contract negotiations. He ended up getting a deal done on July 31st, 2022. I don't know if he held out at all, but I think that is what makes all of this interesting if we get holdouts. But he didn't get paid until July 31st. Nick Bosa did end up holding out. Didn't get paid till September the 6th. And then went out and played in week one. I remember it like it was yesterday. That was just last year. So, if San Fran has a track record for playing these games with the money. But with Ayuk, the difference between the Ayuk situation and Deebo Samuels, and Fred Warner's, Bosa's, Kittle, there was more money to go around at those times. Because all those guys had yet to be paid. There was more cash to go around. Brock Purdy's bill is due. You just paid Christian McCaffrey. And you just drafted a first-round wideout. That's the reason why I think if it doesn't happen, it's because they're like, man, we could just franchise tag him and play the long game with it. I don't think they would lose him for nothing. That's just some background into how San Fran has maneuvered their deals here recently. I want to continue to take your calls, though. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. On the MGM National Harbor Lister lines, you can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Two-parter for you. One, your reaction to Brandon Ayuk's trade request. Do you want him here in Washington or not? And then two, if the Commanders cannot acquire Brandon Ayuk, how confident are you in Washington's current receiving group as we get geared up for training camp? Mike is in Silver Spring. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. Do I want him? Hell yeah, I want him. I think he can help Jaden. Been a big time. And I think it's a little bit overstated when we're comparing him to Antonio Brown. I don't think he's been a bad citizen in San Francisco.
Not at all.
He's trying to get paid. He's trying to get paid like everyone else. And he's pushing all the buttons as much as possible. But at the same time, I think there was a moment where he mentioned Washington and some other team as his other two destinations that he wants to go to. So that by itself kind of makes me want him just because he wants to be here.
For sure.
But the other one I mentioned as part of the call was we do have a surplus at the defensive tackle position. Jonathan Allen was someone that they talked about during offseason, that someone that may be traded, and San Francisco was a team that was looking for a defensive tackle. So I just want to get your thought if that trade was to be put on the table, if that is something you would do.
Yeah, I appreciate the call as always, Mike. Look, I think right now, can you afford to give away a defensive tackle? Who's generating the pass rush here? I think this pass rush, it will continue. We did it yesterday, if you were listening here on The Fan. Part one of our Commanders position preview series, where we talked about offensive line and defensive line. Tonight, we'll go wide receiver and defensive backs. But if they trade John Allen, how confident are you that they're going to have a good pass rush? Even with Jonathan Allen, how confident are you that they're going to have a good pass rush? I don't know. And I've been the biggest proponent of trading John Allen, so I get it. I don't know how much it makes sense, though, for us to trade John Allen for Brandon Ayuk. I just don't. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. One other thing that I want to look at here when it comes to this Brandon Ayuk situation is, if you're Washington, as we continue to mention, you have other holes on this football team. I don't think it makes sense, if depending on the capital, to trade Buku picks to go get them. But I also think, based on what you currently have at wide receiver, specifically Terry McLaurin, who I will give him the benefit of the doubt and say, I don't know how good Terry is. Jury's still out. He has had YMCA quarterback play, but four consecutive 1,000-yard years. He had Taylor Heinicke. He was relying on him to throw him the football. One leg Alex, he was relying on to throw the football. Kyle Allen. I mean, the list goes on and on. He has not had a steadying presence at that position. With a steadying presence at quarterback in Jaden Daniels, maybe Terry is so good that we don't need another A-tier wide receiver. Now, wouldn't that be the case? Wouldn't that be the case? I would love that. We'd all be a fan of that, 100%. But I think realistically speaking, as I continue to say about this situation and adding a tackle or edge rusher or any other position, I want to see my guys in training camp first with pads before I go out and try to pluck from other teams. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Diana Russini of The Athletic reported earlier some of the numbers that have been offered to Brandon Ayuk in a contract extension. And we'll touch on some of those numbers next on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willigham taking up the 10 o'clock before we dish things over to the Infinity Sports Network and the Bart Winkler Show. Coming up at about 8:20, we'll see. We're on coach's time. Kevin Sheehan set to join the program, the host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10 to 1 over on our sister station, the Team 980. We get Kevin's perspective on the Brandon Ayuk drama. That is the big story coming in to tonight's show. Brandon Ayuk earlier today officially requesting a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. And I teased it before the break. Diana Russini, senior insider for The Athletic, said this about Brandon Ayuk earlier in a tweet. San Francisco wants to keep Ayuk, but on an offer that's around $26 to $27 million per year. And that is below Brandon Ayuk's asking price at this point. And you know what? I understand that. I get that. If that is what you know, Ayuk is looking for, $25 or $30 to $35 million annually, if he thinks he deserves to be in that category, in that tier of a receiver, then more power to him. I think there's an argument to be made that he doesn't deserve that, but beggars can't be choosers. Top wide receivers in terms of average salary in their contract. In terms of average salary in their contract, the top wide receivers are as follows. Number one, Justin Jefferson, averaging $35 million per year. Number two, A.J. Brown, averaging $32 million per year. Amon-Ra St. Brown just signed, averaging $30 million. Tyreek, $30 million. Jalen Waddle, $28 million. Cooper Kupp, $26 million. With Ayuk's contract, he's already being offered, according to Diana Russini, they've offered him somewhere in the range of $26 to $27 million annually. That would put him in the range of Devontae Smith, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, and Jalen Waddle. I can make the argument that Brandon Ayuk isn't better than Cooper Kupp, isn't better than Devontae Adams, and isn't better than Jalen Waddle. As a matter of fact, I know he's not better than those three receivers. He's just not. So that's where the conversation becomes interesting in terms of what Ayuk is actually looking for. I don't know. It's frustrating. Because I think he's a damn good football player. I just don't necessarily agree with how he's done things to this point in terms of how he's handled these contract negotiations. He's been rather public about his desire to play, to pay where he is wanted. To play where he is wanted. And how do you show that? It is by financial gain, the contract. The thing about Ayuk that continues to get me is like, what is his asking price? He wants Amon-Ra St. Brown's getting $30 million per year. Is that what he wants? Does he want Amon-Ra's deal? According to reports, he wants to exceed Amon-Ra St. Brown's deal. Does he just want to exceed that, or does he want to exceed A.J. Brown as well? Because I don't think he's got the leverage to put himself in the same category as A.J. Brown. He simply doesn't. And if anyone thinks he does, go get drug tested. They're not in the same tier of receivers. They're not. So does he have the right to ask for the money that he's asking for? A.J. Brown's coming off back-to-back 1,400-yard seasons. 18 touchdowns the last 2 years. He's been a damn animal for the Philadelphia Eagles. Brandon Ayuk ain't in that category, man. He's just not. He's just not. Before last year, Brandon Ayuk barely got over 1,000 yards for the first time in 2022. Now, I can make the argument all day about whether he's deserving or not based on the numbers, but you got to add this context. Since trading for Christian McCaffrey, the Niners throw the ball at the 32nd rate in the National Football League. He's not going to put up massive numbers in that environment. But despite the offense not being geared toward the passing game, Ayuk was number one in the NFL in yards per target at 18 yards per target last year. Ayuk was number one in the NFL in terms of percentage of first downs or touchdowns per target. He has been an outstanding asset to this point for the San Francisco 49ers. But in reality, if you're Debo, you got to wonder, can I reach my ceiling in San Francisco's offense? And at this point, I think you've got to wonder if you're Debo, I don't know if I can. It's a real tough conversation that's got to be had between Debo and the Niners.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time before we hand things over to Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network. Programming note, coming up in exactly 1 hour, we'll be joined by our pal Kevin Sheehan, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show. Weekdays, 10 to 1 over on our sister station, the Team 980. We'll get his thoughts on the number one story in town right now that we've been discussing. Earlier today, disgruntled Niners wideout Brandon Ayuk officially requesting a trade from the San Francisco 49ers about a week before they're set to report for training camp. As we've said all show long, and as I will continue to say because I don't want to be misconstrued at all here, I understand both sides of the argument completely. I understand why some of you out there are hell-bent on going out and trading for Ayuk. You can never have a surplus of weapons when you are grooming and developing a young rookie quarterback. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. But the question now for me with Brandon Ayuk becomes at what cost? Because you don't have leverage. He doesn't have leverage. San Fran, who is on the doorstep of a Super Bowl, is not going to give away their all-pro caliber receiver. It is going to take, in my opinion, significant draft capital to get him away from San Francisco. Now, he can come into the facility next year and next week and act an ass and make this situation a little bit uncomfortable to where maybe the asking price goes down because it becomes so evident that he ain't playing there. But we're not there yet. At this point, I would think the price tag to acquire Ayuk is too steep for Washington to be involved on. I don't want to say too steep, though, because there is no price, like I said. I get what he brings to the offense. I get what he does for the young quarterback. And that's the most important asset right now within this franchise. That's the most important figure in the franchise is Jayden Daniels, doing everything you can in your power to ensure that he has success in year one. And adding a all-pro wideout would damn sure be doing that. But with Ayuk, I just don't know whether or not it would make sense to give up what they're going to have to give up, especially considering, in my opinion, how easy it is nowadays to acquire an elite wide receiver. But I want to look at some key dates here, because this is something that a lot of people have been talking about online, as I've seen. A lot of people in San Francisco saying, don't worry. Schefter, other national reporters continuing to say it. Look, San Fran does this when it comes to negotiating big-time contracts with some of their star players. They take the slow route. Slow as Manassas. Not slow as Manassas, but slow as molasses. Now, Manassas is a little bit slow around the Beltway when it comes to traffic. You Virginians can't drive. So I said slow as Manassas, so it just kind of is what it is.
We're going to have a conversation
about
this.
Well, I knew you would take that personally. I understood what that
was. Because I got beef with y'all, Maryland drivers.
And there we go. And there we go. It's a never-ending soap opera between the DMV and all of our non-driving asses. Let's just put it out there that way. But I want to look at some numbers here real quick when it comes to San Fran. Because the story is, look, don't panic about Brandon Ayuk and his contract. One, because San Fran wants him. And two, it is their track record, their history, to wait a little bit longer when it comes to signing their big-time guys to big-time deals. Go back to 2020. George Kittle was in a contract dispute with the team. They didn't re-sign George Kittle until August 13th, 2020. Now, I don't think Kittle held out at all with San Francisco, but it was a sticky negotiation. Fred Warner didn't sign his long-term extension until July 21st. So, based on the calendar, right before training camp. Last year, or 2 years ago, with Deebo Samuel and how disgruntled he was. And remember, Deebo Samuel requested a trade as well when he was in the midst of his contract negotiations. He ended up getting a deal done on July 31st, 2022. I don't know if he held out at all, but I think that is what makes all of this interesting if we get holdouts. But he didn't get paid until July 31st. Nick Bosa did end up holding out. Didn't get paid till September the 6th. And then went out and played in week one. I remember it like it was yesterday. That was just last year. So, and San Fran has a track record for playing these games with the money. But with Ayuk, the difference between the Ayuk situation and Deebo Samuel's and Fred Warner's, Bosa's, Kittle, there was more money to go around at those times. Because all those guys had yet to be paid. There was more cash to go around. Brock Purdy's bill is due. You just paid Christian McCaffrey. And you just drafted a first-round wideout. That's the reason why I think if it doesn't happen, it's because they're like, man, we could just franchise tag him and play the long game with it. I don't think they would lose him for nothing. That's just some background into how San Fran has maneuvered their deals here recently. I want to continue to take your calls, though. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Two-part for you. One, your reaction to Brandon Ayuk's trade request. Do you want him here in Washington or not? And then two, if the Commanders cannot acquire Brandon Ayuk, how confident are you in Washington's current receiving group as we get geared up for training camp? Mike is in Silver Spring. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. Do I want him? Hell yeah, I want him. I think he can help Jayden. It's been a big time. And I think it's a little bit overstated when we're comparing him to Antonio Brown. I don't think he's been a bad citizen in San Francisco.
Not at all.
He's trying to get paid. He's trying to get paid like everyone else. And he's pushing all the buttons as much as possible. But at the same time, I think there was a moment where he mentioned Washington and some other team as his other two destinations that he wants to go to. So that by itself kind of makes me want him just because he wants to be here.
For sure.
But the other one I mentioned as part of the call was we do have
a surplus at the defensive tackle position. Jonathan Allen was someone that they talked about during offseason, that someone that may be traded, and San Francisco was a team that was looking for a defensive tackle. So I just want to get your thought if that trade was to be put on the table, if that is something you would do.
Yeah, I appreciate the call as always, Mike. Look, I think right now, can you afford to give away a defensive tackle? Who's generating the pass rush here? I think this pass rush, it will continue. We did it yesterday, if you were listening here on The Fan. Part one of our Commanders position preview series, where we talked about offensive line and defensive line. Tonight, we'll go wide receiver and defensive backs. But if they trade John Allen, how confident are you that they're going to have a good pass rush? Even with Jonathan Allen, how confident are you that they're going to have a good pass rush? I don't know. And I've been the biggest proponent of trading John Allen, so I get it. I don't know how much it makes sense, though, for us to trade John Allen for Brandon Ayuk. I just don't. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. One other thing that I want to look at here when it comes to this Brandon Ayuk situation is if you're Washington, as we continue to mention, you have other holes on this football team. I don't think it makes sense, if depending on the capital, to trade Buku picks to go get them. But I also think, based on what you currently have at wide receiver, specifically Terry McLaurin, who I will give him the benefit of the doubt and say, I don't know how good Terry is. Jury's still out. He has had YMCA quarterback play, but four consecutive 1,000-yard years. He had Taylor Heinicke. He was relying on him to throw him the football. One leg Alex, he was relying on to throw the football. Kyle Allen. I mean, the list goes on and on. He has not had a steadying presence at that position. With a steadying presence at quarterback in Jayden Daniels, maybe Terry is so good that we don't need another A-tier wide receiver. Now, wouldn't that be the case? Wouldn't that be the case? I would love that. We'd all be a fan of that, 100%. But I think realistically speaking, as I continue to say about this situation and adding a tackle or edge rusher or any other position, I want to see my guys in training camp first with pads before I go out and try to pluck from other teams. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Diana Russini of The Athletic reported earlier some of the numbers that have been offered to Brandon Ayuk in a contract extension. And we'll touch on some of those numbers next on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willigham taking up the 10 o'clock before we dish things over to the Infinity Sports Network and the Bart Winkler Show. Coming up at about 8:20, we'll see. We're on coaches time. Kevin Sheehan set to join the program, the host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10 to 1 over on our sister station, the Team 980. We get Kevin's perspective on the Brandon Ayuk drama. That is the big story coming in to tonight's show. Brandon Ayuk earlier today officially requesting a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. And I teased it before the break. Diana Russini, senior insider for The Athletic, said this about Brandon Ayuk earlier in a tweet. San Francisco wants to keep Ayuk, but on an offer that's around $26 to $27 million per year. And that is below Brandon Ayuk's asking price at this point. And you know what? I understand that. I get that. If that is what, you know, Ayuk is looking for, $30 to $35 million annually, if he thinks he deserves to be in that category in that tier of a receiver, then more power to him. I think there's an argument to be made that he doesn't deserve that, but beggars can't be choosers. Top wide receivers in terms of average salary in their contract. In terms of average salary in their contract, the top wide receivers are as follows. Number one, Justin Jefferson, averaging $35 million per year. Number two, A.J. Brown, averaging $32 million per year. Amon-Ra St. Brown just signed, averaging $30 million. Tyreek, $30 million. Jalen Waddle, $28 million. Cooper Kupp, $26 million. With Ayuk's contract, he's already being offered, according to Diana Rossini, they've offered him somewhere in the range of $26 to $27 million annually. That would put him in the range of Devontae Smith, Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams, and Jalen Waddle. I can make the argument that Brandon Ayuk isn't better than Cooper Kupp, isn't better than Davante Adams, and isn't better than Jalen Waddle. As a matter of fact, I know he's not better than those three receivers. He's just not. So that's where the conversation becomes interesting in terms of what Ayuk is actually looking for. I don't know. It's frustrating. Because I think he's a damn good football player. I just don't necessarily agree with how he's done things to this point in terms of how he's handled these contract negotiations. He's been rather public about his desire to play, to pay where he is wanted. To play where he is wanted. And how do you show that? It is by financial gain, the contract. The thing about Ayuk that continues to get me is like, what is his asking price? He wants, Amon-Ra St. Brown's getting $30 million per year. Is that what he wants? Does he want Amon-Ra's deal? According to reports, he wants to exceed Amon-Ra St. Brown's deal. Does he just want to exceed that, or does he want to exceed A.J. Brown as well? Because I don't think he's got the leverage to put himself in the same category as A.J. Brown. He simply doesn't. And if anyone thinks he does, go get drug tested. They're not in the same tier of receivers. They're not. So does he have the right to ask for the money that he's asking for? A.J. Brown's coming off back-to-back 1,400-yard seasons. 18 touchdowns the last 2 years. He's been a damn animal for the Philadelphia Eagles. Brandon Ayuk ain't in that category, man. He's just not. He's just not. Before last year, Brandon Ayuk barely got over 1,000 yards for the first time in 2022. Now, I can make the argument all day about whether he's deserving or not based on the numbers, but you got to add this context. Since trading for Christian McCaffrey, the Niners throw the ball at the 32nd rate in the National Football League. He's not going to put up massive numbers in that environment. But despite the offense not being geared toward the passing game, Ayuk was number one in the NFL in yards per target at 18 yards per target last year. Ayuk was number one in the NFL in terms of percentage of first downs or touchdowns per target. He has been an outstanding asset to this point for the San Francisco 49ers. But in reality, if you're Debo, you got to wonder, can I reach my ceiling in San Francisco's offense? And at this point, I think you've got to wonder if you're Debo, I don't know if I can. It's a real tough conversation that's got to be had between Debo and the Niners. This is why I continue to say, look, if Debo does end up getting moved, it's because things have gotten so awkward and sour and nasty within that building that they just can't take it anymore. I think the Niners are going to continue to play hardball here. And I don't know how much Ayuk and some of his comments are impacting these negotiations. But as I said, I I want players to get paid. You ain't going, I'm a player empowerment type of cat. That's how I swing, baby. But you got to go about your business the right way, man. Let me put it to y'all like this, because I guess it's hard for us to feel frustrated at Ayuk for pissing off the Niners, because who cares about the Niners? Remember when Terry McLaurin was looking for his contract? He held out at, what was it, mandatory minicamp? We were up in arms about that. Imagine, right? Imagine if Terry acted the way Ayuk is acting. How would you feel? You would be pissed the hell off as a fan. So for some of you out there trying to minimize and excuse Ayuk's behavior during this process, please calm down and put yourself in Niners shoes for a second. Put yourself in the Niners fan shoes, the organization for a second. We would feel some type of way for sure if Terry McLaurin carried himself like that during contract negotiations. But we know that's not the type of cat that Terry is. It's just not. That's why we love him. Are you making an indictment or a judgment on Ayuk and his character based off these negotiations? Is that fair to do? I wouldn't think so. But if you did look at him a little sideways because of the way he's handled stuff, I would understand you. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will continue to talk all things Washington Commanders. When we come back, part two of our position preview series as we get geared up for training camp. We'll talk all things wide receiver and defensive back leading into 8 o'clock next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Still rocking and rolling here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking up the 10 o'clock before we dish things over to the Infinity Sports Network and the Bart Winkler Show. Coming up at about 8:20, we'll see. We're on coaches time. Kevin Sheehan set to join the program, the host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10 to 1 over on our sister station, the Team 980. We get Kevin's perspective on the Brandon Ayuk drama. That is the big story coming in to tonight's show. Brandon Ayuk earlier today officially requesting a trade from the San Francisco 49ers, and I teased it before the break. Diana Russini, senior insider for The Athletic, said this about Brandon Ayuk earlier in a tweet. San Francisco wants to keep Ayuk, but on an offer that's around $26 to $27 million per year. And that is below Brandon Ayuk's asking price at this point. And you know what? I understand that. I get that. If that is what, you know, Ayuk is looking for, $25 or $30 to $35 million annually, if he thinks he deserves to be in that category, in that tier of a receiver, then more power to him. I think there's an argument to be made that he doesn't deserve that, but beggars can't be choosers. Top wide receivers in terms of average salary in their contract. In terms of average salary on their contract, the top wide receivers are as follows. Number one, Justin Jefferson, averaging $35 million per year. Number two, A.J. Brown, averaging $32 million per year. Amon-Ra St. Brown just signed, averaging $30 million. Tyreek, $30 million. Jaylen Waddle, $28 million. Cooper Kupp, $26 million. With Ayuk's contract, he's already being offered, according to Diana Rossini, they've offered him somewhere in the range of $26 to $27 million annually. That would put him in the range of Devontae Smith, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, and Jaylen Waddle. I can make the argument that Brandon Ayuk isn't better than Cooper Kupp, isn't better than Devontae Adams, and isn't better than Jaylen Waddle. As a matter of fact, I know he's not better than those three receivers. He's just not. So that's where the conversation becomes interesting in terms of what Ayuk is actually looking for. I don't know. It's frustrating. Because I think he's a damn good football player. I just don't necessarily agree with how he's done things to this point in terms of how he's handled these contract negotiations. He's been rather public about his desire to play, to pay where he is wanted. To play where he is wanted. And how do you show that? It is by financial gain, the contract. The thing about Ayuk that continues to get me is like, what is his asking price? He wants, Amon-Ra St. Brown's getting $30 million per year. Is that what he wants? Does he want Amon-Ra's deal? According to reports, he wants to exceed Amon-Ra St. Brown's deal. Does he just want to exceed that, or does he want to exceed A.J. Brown as well? Because I don't think he's got the leverage to put himself in the same category as A.J. Brown. He simply doesn't. And if anyone thinks he does, go get drug tested. They're not in the same tier of receivers. They're not. So does he have the right to ask for the money that he's asking for? A.J. Brown's coming off back-to-back 1,400-yard seasons. 18 touchdowns the last 2 years. He's been a damn animal for the Philadelphia Eagles. Brandon Ayuk ain't in that category, man. He's just not. He's just not. Before last year, Brandon Ayuk barely got over 1,000 yards for the first time in 2022. Now, I can make the argument all day about whether he's deserving or not based on the numbers, but you got to add this context. Since trading for Christian McCaffrey, the Niners throw the ball at the 32nd rate in the National Football League. He's not going to put up massive numbers in that environment. But despite the offense not being geared toward the passing game, Ayuk was number one in the NFL in yards per target at 18 yards per target last year. Ayuk was number one in the NFL in terms of percentage of first downs or touchdowns per target. He has been an outstanding asset to this point for the San Francisco 49ers. But in reality, if you're Debo, you got to wonder, can I reach my ceiling in San Francisco's offense? And at this point, I think you've got to wonder if you're Debo. I don't know if I can. It's a real tough conversation that's got to be had between Debo and the Niners. This is why I continue to say, look, if Debo does end up getting moved, it's because things have gotten so awkward and sour and nasty within that building that they just can't take it anymore. I think the Niners are going to continue to play hardball here. And I don't know how much Ayuk and some of his comments are impacting these negotiations. But as I said, I want players to get paid. You ain't going, I'm a player empowerment type of cat. That's how I swing, baby. But you got to go about your business the right way, man. Let me put it to y'all like this, because I guess it's hard for us to feel frustrated at Ayuk for pissing off the Niners, because who cares about the Niners? Remember when Terry McLaurin was looking for his contract? He held out at, what was it, mandatory minicamp? We were up in arms about that. Imagine, right? Imagine if Terry acted the way Ayuk is acting. How would you feel? You would be pissed the hell off as a fan. So for some of you out there trying to minimize and excuse Ayuk's behavior during this process, please calm down and put yourself in Niners' shoes for a second. Put yourself in the Niners fans' shoes, the organization, for a second. We would feel some type of way for sure if Terry McLaurin carried himself like that during contract negotiations. But we know that's not the type of cat that Terry is. It's just not. That's why we love him. Are you making an indictment or a judgment on Ayuk and his character based off these negotiations? Is that fair to do? I wouldn't think so. But if you did look at him a little sideways because of the way he's handled stuff, I would understand you. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will continue to talk all things Washington Commanders. When we come back, part two of our position preview series as we get geared up for training camp. We'll talk all things wide receiver and defensive back leading into 8 o'clock next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.